No?
Well, certainly we can be circumspect. Just a brief reconnoiter. If we do not like what we see, we simply move along.
Horseshit.
The two men worked their way around the edge of the bubble, picking a path of least resistance over the slick planes and treacherous edges of the ceiling's glass fall.
Cover badge.
Jack put his hand over his own badge. When Doc did the same, the bubble was plunged into pitch darkness, except for a muted green glow on the ground about 100 feet in front of them. They watched it intently for several minutes.
Nothing seems to be moving.
Jack uncovered his badge and nodded.
Are you still there, pray tell?
Yes, I'm here.
Doc and Jack closed in on the man's position. As they did, there was an explosion of scurrying little feet. Low, dark forms scooted away in all directions. Like shadows flitting at the corners of Doc's eyes, the fleeing rats were almost too fast to follow. They found the man almost completely buried in glass. His head, arms, and one leg stuck out of a collapse that had come from the wall and ceiling. A block of at least 100 pounds straddled his hips and held him down. Doc and Jack shone their badge lights onto his face. The man had no front teeth. There were old bruises on his eyes and cheeks.
Are you cut anywhere? Once we start lifting off the glass, it could release pressure on a wound, and you could bleed to death.
I don't know. I can't tell. I've been pinned here for a long time. My arms and legs are asleep.
Jack and Doc set aside their axes, and working carefully, lifted the glass from his body. The man's torso and limbs were covered with a myriad of shallow cuts and gashes, but none of them serious. Freed, the man stood shakily.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't think anyone would help me. Before you came, others passed by and simply did nothing. They stood over me and then walked on, left to be eaten by stickies or rats. This place is wicked and evil, and it's full of wicked and evil people.
Do you know something of human anatomy? You used a medical term a moment ago.
The glassfall survivor's eyes lit up.
Well, medicine? No, no, not really. I just pick things up here and there. My name's Huth, by the way.
Well, I am Dr. Theophilus Tanner, and this is Mr. Jack Lauren, who has barely reached his majority. From where do you happen to come?
Out east. I've been wandering on my own for quite a while now. Never thought I'd end up in a hellhole like this.
From its shape and cut, the jacket Huth wore looked like the remains of a lab coat. Doc had very bad associations with coats just like it. He glanced at the lapel. Something had been embroidered there just over the pocket, but the threads had all been picked out.
How did you come by that jacket?
This? The same place I got the pants and shoes. The garbage dump over in Byronville. Some poor guy died in these pants. I don't know the story about the coat, though. I just picked it out of the rubbish before it was burned up.
All right, then.
Is it just you two working on the sledge? If it is, maybe I could join you. We could combine forces.
Sorry, we already have a third party. Why are you working alone?
I had some trouble back at the camp. Made some rather unpleasant enemies, I'm afraid, as these bruises can attest.
And you did what to deserve that?
It was my fault. There was a misunderstanding, and it got blown out of proportion. I said something to the guards that I shouldn't have said. A lie to gain their trust. I was just trying to find a way to get out of here, but it didn't work. In fact, it backfired completely when my fellow laborers took what I'd said for truth. What about my joining you? The guards allow as many as 5 people to a cart.
Let me confer with my colleague here.
Doc and Jack withdrew slightly.
We could use a 4th on the sledge. He could help us fill it faster.
Not like him. Has bad smell.
Everybody down here is quite malodorous, lad. It is the stench of fear. I say we take him back to Mildred and then have a vote. The majority will decide. How about that?
Still don't like his smell.
Keep back!
Mildred brandished her pickaxe. To show she meant business, she swung the tool in a short, quick arc against the rim of the cart. The situation wasn't good. In her brief time in the mines, the doctor recognized two distinct kinds of robbers. The sneaky, who usually worked alone. They walked past a cart and tried to filch a chunk or two of glass on the run. And the barefaced kind, who always worked in groups. They attacked without provocation in order to drive you away from your load, which allowed their accomplices to move in and help themselves.
Come on, babe.
The bearded, filthy man who taunted Mildred by spinning out of range and skipping away wasn't the sneaky kind. He was part of a four-thief pack. His pals watched with amusement from beside their sledge along the far wall. Their cart was nearly full, a feat that had been accomplished without their leaving the cart loading area. Like a mosquito, the bearded guy kept darting back to test her reflexes. A huge mosquito, clad in foul-smelling rags and strips of black plastic bag. The guy was over 6'4", and his face had been mutilated by spiral brands on his forehead and cheeks, Deathlands tattoos. A tuft of black hair sprouted from the tip of his nose. Mildred knew she would have shot him if she'd been armed. Her temper was barely under control, her nerves fraying. She found the idea that she was going to have to use lethal force to defend 150 pounds of nuke rubble that was slowly killing her, both absurd and infuriating.
Fuck it. Let's dance, motherfuckers.
That's more like it, hun.
When they all started to move toward her at once, spreading out to close in on all sides, Mildred let her body relax. The axes they wielded had short handles, just like hers, which meant they'd have to get in close to land a blow. She had the cover of the cart and a wall to protect her back. Those were the only strategic points in her favor. The tattooed giant came at her first, waving his axe, again taunting her by offering his animalistic face as a target, and then skipping out of reach. Mildred ignored him. She had to let them come to her in order to save her strength. If they could wear her down, they'd concave her skull. She held her axe in her right hand, point down, ready to block or strike. A fat, sweaty, bald guy, who outweighed her by close to 100 pounds, closed in with a sideways shuffling gait. The maneuver was intended to move her away from the cart, either by intimidation or brute force, so the others could plunder it. The fat man edged closer, trying to get her to take a swing at him. He was willing, it seemed, to take one for the team. With a thick coat of blubber that protected most of his body, Mildred realized that doing him sufficient damage was going to be difficult. The fat man was smiling at her, too.
Don't think about it, bitch. You ain't got a chance.
Oh, lordy!
Suddenly, Mildred flung her left hand up at his face. A cloud of twinkling dust scattered into his eyes and up his nose, the powder glass cutting him like 10,000 tiny razor blades. Mildred power-stepped, bringing her axe up sidearm, and two-handed it into the center of the fat man's throat. The point sank into the start of the handle. She turned with the man, ripping the curved axe out of his neck. Blood jetted from the gaping hole where his Adam's apple had been. He clutched at his ruined throat, his mouth opened wide.
Who's the bitch now, bitch?
She used her momentum, planting her feet and twisting her torso. Uncoiling from her hips and legs, she backhanded the flat end of the hammer in a tight arc that ended at the base of his unprotected skull. The fat man jolted forward, his knees buckled under him. From the way his face hit the floor, she figured he was dead before contact. His friends figured the same thing.
You bitch! You chilled Bucky!
Well, motherfuck me.
We're gonna pound you to a pulp!
Doubt it.
Get the bitch!
Mildred moved into her original position, the wall to her back, the cart protecting her left flank. She guessed that a three-man charge was coming. An attack from all sides, which she couldn't turn away. But the thieves were now cautious. They didn't want to get too close. They took short swings at her, their blows coming up way short. The woman didn't overreact, didn't commit herself.
Oh, come on. Someone be a man about this.
Fuck you!
The stocky robber with running sores on his cheeks tried to edge in along the right-hand wall, close enough to land a blow. Though Mildred saw it coming, she was barely able to duck the sidearm blow. The man's axe point crashed into the wall. She countered by bringing the flat of her axe down onto his wrist. The robber released his axe handle. The weapon clattered to the floor as he jumped back, clutching his forearm.
She broke my fucking wrist!
Mildred was on him before he could take another step, and before the others could recover from their shock. She swung the square end of her axe head against the side of his skull, a single two-handed blow to the temple,